Now let's take our Bibles to Colossians chapter 4 this morning. As we are getting close to the end of Colossians here, but as Paul always does, as he gives us great instruction right in the closing of the book. And sometimes we can rush through closings and miss some wonderful bits of truth. And this morning our text is Colossians 4, and we're looking at verses 2 through 6. Now I've entitled the message this morning, Watch Your Mouth. Watch your mouth. Did you ever hear that growing up? Watch your mouth. Some of you are still hearing it while you're growing up. All right. Watch your mouth. When you heard that phrase come out of your parent or your teacher or somebody saying that, usually that was a stern warning to say, hey, you need to look at what's coming out of your mouth. You're saying something you shouldn't be saying. When we use it here with this passage this morning, I want us to use it as something to wake us up about communication. I wanted to wake us up this morning about communication. Watch our mouths, because Paul is going to give us some great instruction here about communication in verses 2 through 6. And we're going to see how communication connects. How we communicate connects. I remember, I grew up in Florida. I was born in Dallas, Texas. We moved to Florida when I was 18 months old, when my dad took his church there. And so, growing up, that's all I known is Florida. My mom was born and raised in Fort Worth. So she was Texan all the way. And I remember one day we were coming home from church, and I was practicing my real thick country accent in the car. And I thought I was just laying it on, and I was doing all this. And my mom said, why are you talking like that? You don't talk like that. I said, Mom, I can't help it. I'm from Texas. That was the wrong thing to say to my mother. My mother was very proper. She was very, my dad used to say they had to teach her how to run, just because she was just that type of lady and very ladylike and, was always wearing dresses. And, that was my mom. And that just got under her skin. She said, just because you're from Texas, and she was mad because she was gritting her teeth and words were still coming out, it doesn't mean you have to talk like that. Yes, ma'am. All right, I got the picture. How are we communicating? Our communication connects our word usages, how we use different words, different slang terms, different things, even, the difference between saying I'm going to order a Coke, a pop, a soda, or what, and I had to get used to that when I first got out here. I'd ask Nicole, what do you want to drink? Do you want a Coke? Yeah, sure. Give me a Dr. Pepper. No, do you want Coke or do you want Dr. Pepper? Tell me which one you want. Yeah, I want a Coke. Give me a Dr. Pepper. Okay, that's how it works. Our words communicate. We have that idea of communication. And I want us to see here this instruction from Paul about how to take our communication and use it to connect. You see, attractive Christian lives are going to build through active connections. And they're going to build through active connections in prayer and in our witness. And that's what Paul brings up here. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, he says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on the account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Here we see this active connections and communication. And we can really see a divide here that really outlines it very nicely for us. In the verses 2 through 4, we're going to see the connection of prayer. And then in verses 5 and 6, we see the connection of our witness. And we see how these active connections should allow us to see something bigger take place. We're seeing it personally first through prayer, and then we're going to see in the relationship to others in our witness in verses 5 and 6. But all of that points to what God wants to do with our communication. How He wants to use us. So this morning, I want you to see, first of all, that prayer fortifies. Prayer fortifies. Notice in verse 2, we see three specific things he starts off with. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And this speaks directly of our personal prayer life. This is one of the areas I believe that is one of the most underutilized in our Christian walk, is the avenue of prayer. And not only sometimes is it underutilized, but sometimes it's misappropriated. And we use it amiss. We use it in a wrong way. But here we see these three different ideas that Paul is giving to the Colossians of what they should do with prayer. First, continue steadfastly in prayer. He says you need to pray and pray more often. This is not uncommon to Paul to bring this exhortation out. He did in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. It's a great verse to start your scripture remembering journey on. Pray without ceasing. All right, can we all memorize that this morning? 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. And that's a whole verse. And you know what Paul is trying to get it into our heads? We need to have an active conversation, an active communication to God. And you know what's wonderful? He allows it. He allows it. There are people on this earth that you cannot connect and talk to like you can your God. But yet here it is, this connection that we have for God, and so many times it is so underutilized in our lives. And he starts off here, continue steadfastly in prayer. He says, I want you to pray more, pray without ceasing, continue to have that conversation. I once had a professor that described it like this. He described it like a hacking cough. You ever had one of those coughs that it was always in your throat? It was always there, and every now and then you verbalized it. Every now and then it came out, but it was always scratchy. It was always there, and it was always built up. And I found that intriguing. But I also think in our day and age where we are constantly connected, that it should be something that it is very vivid to us to be constant in prayer. It's having a conversation with God in which we never hang up. All right, now I'm not talking about that teenage infatuation. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you keep that conversation going throughout the day. That you never close it off. That you always have that opportunity to bring up a conversation before the Lord. And you know what? As sometimes as a request is placed in front of you, you go immediately to the Lord before it. Maybe even you're driving and you see something that you need to bring before the Lord, that you immediately take before the Lord. That you have a conversation that you never quit. Let me ask you something. How good would our marriages be if we only talked to somebody when we wanted something from them? We laugh, but unfortunately, that happens. If we only talk to people when I want something from them, then that shows that person what they really mean to you. Right? How do you think God feels when our conversations are only when our life seems to be spinning out of control? There's the song, Jesus Take the Wheel. If this is your favorite song, you're not going to like me. Jesus Take the Wheel became popular back in, what, late 90s? Early 2000s? Sometime back in then. You know, way back then. And this song, to me, it just has such the wrong idea. And everybody was, oh, she's a Christian. She's talking about Jesus. No, she's saying, Jesus, when my life's spinning out of control, then I'm going to turn to you. How about we let Jesus take the wheel long before we ever get there? How about we let him have control long before we ever get there? And that's what Paul is bringing up. Continue steadfastly in prayer. We shouldn't be just opening a line of communication to God only when it's a 911 call. We need to have an ongoing conversation with him. And maybe your days would be different if you started off saying, Lord, I'm going to come before you and I'm going to praise you this morning. The sun came up. You are alive. You are my Savior. You have forgiven me of my sins. I've got something to praise you for this morning, and I'm going to start my day right here. Continue steadfastly in prayer. It's an opportunity for us to grow, keep that communication active. And then notice what he says, being watchful in it. What does this mean? Pray with one eye open? You know, what is he saying? Being watchful in prayer. This is the same sentiment that we see from Jesus in Matthew chapter 26 when he tells his disciples there in the garden, you know, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. It's also the same idea that we see in the Lord's Prayer, that to deliver us from evil. Keep us from temptation and deliver us from evil. This idea of prayer showing how it really fortifies our life is we have the opportunity through prayer to be on alert. Let me tell you something. If you grow in communication with somebody, you start to get to know them better. And the more that you communicate, the better you get to know them. When I was dating Nicole, we used to sit out on Wednesday nights after church. We would go to Brahms. And we would sit there at the Brahms, and we'd talk and eat ice cream and different things. And we'd go out, and you know what? Even standing at the car, we would just sit and talk and just talk. And that's where I learned that she liked German chocolate ice cream. You know what? And the more that you do that, the more that you know, the more that you continue to grow in communication, the more that you know about somebody, and the more that you're able to look out for those different things. You know what? When we're watchful in prayer, that means that our life is already growing towards the will of God because we are keeping an active communication with Him. And when we do that, we are able to be watchful and on alert for what's going on all around us. All of a sudden, we realize in this active communication to the Lord that we start to think about Him before we make those different decisions. Because we are active in communication with Him. Be watchful. Be on alert. Be on guard. And then, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. We've seen this theme throughout Colossians. All this ramps up to this idea of gratitude. I tell you, when God is moving and God is working in your life, there is an attitude of gratitude, that there is thanksgiving. If you're walking around in a bitter slump, it's a lot of times because your communication with God is off. Because you haven't been connecting with God. And don't you just love those people, those super spiritual people that are coming up and they're just singing songs and they're all happy and everything's going well and you know that your relationship with God's not right and you just don't want to hear them. So what do? You separate yourself from it. I don't want to be around that. Well, amazing. God set up something to help us with that. You know what He set up? He set up the church. A body of believers. To help each other, to not get into those slumps, but to help build each other up and to help keep this idea of communication going with thanksgiving so that we can continue on. Here, prayer fortifies our relationship with God. But then not only that, notice what it does then in verse 3. At the same time, pray also for us. That God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on the account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. So now Paul has talked about personal prayer life, continue steadfast, be watchful, pray with thanksgiving. Now he's talking about the ministry through prayer. And he says, I want you at the same time to pray also for us. And who is the us? The us is Paul and Timothy. Paul and Timothy and their ministry here. And as Paul is writing this, we know that Paul is in prison. He's received word of what's going on in Colossae, and he is writing this letter while he's in prison. And in so doing here, he says, while you are in this prayer time and while you are growing in prayer, I want you to pray for us. That God may open to us a door for the word. How much of our prayer life are we actually praying for the ministry of God in our life, through us, and in other ministries? If we believe people coming to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior is the most important thing and decision that someone can make, how much do we pray for it? How much is that compare to us praying for people with the flu. Now, I'm not saying we don't pray for people with the flu. I'm saying that if this is important enough, it needs to be there just as much as praying for people with sicknesses. That we need to be praying for people to have an opportunity for ministry, to see people come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. Maybe God's withholding revival because we aren't asking Him for it. Because we aren't asking Him to get us right, to get us alive in Him, so that we might be a light and a minister for Him. That maybe we need to spend more time in prayer and this ministry, that God would open to us a door for the Word. And this was a description that Paul used in other places. 1 Corinthians, he uses that God would open up a door effectual for us. And this is an idea of opening up an opportunity. Pray that God would open up an opportunity. And sometimes we need to pray that we recognize it. That we recognize what God is doing and that He's opened up this door. When you look at Paul and his ministry, man, he was led by the Spirit. And you can see how this was just working in his heart and life. As we see in Acts, in chapter 16, where the Spirit hindered him from going a direction he wanted to go. It caused him to stop. And then all of a sudden he sees in a vision where the people of Macedonia are saying, come over and help us. And from that we see the church of Philippi begin. And these different places and the work in Macedonia that happens. I tell you, when we fuel our ministry with prayer, God can do a lot more with it than we can. But that means that we got to make it important. At the same time, pray also for us. You know what? As much as we like to pray for ourselves and pray for what's going on in our heart and life, we need to make the endeavor to pray for others spiritually in their spiritual walk and pray for others to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. You want to know something that's kind of embarrassing? That the salvation section in our prayer list doesn't change week after week compared to the other sections. That needs to become a burden to us. To pray for salvation of souls just as much as we're praying in these other areas. To pray for those that we know that need Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Pray that God would open up a door for the Word. And then notice, he says there, to declare the mystery of Christ on the account of which I am in prison. You know what he's saying? Pray for that which put me into prison. And pray that I would make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. And we would pray for salvation of souls, that the Holy Spirit would work upon hearts and would work upon lives, that we'd have an opportunity to minister to. We got to take the personal prayer time from verse 2 and expand it to the ministry prayer time in verses 3 and verse 4. Then we'll see prayer fortify not only our personal walk with the Lord, but also a ministry for the Lord. And we'll see it grow and strengthen. But why is it our prayer ministry is always the least attended that we have? Make the ministry opportunity. I love this quote from Dallas Willard in the book, The Spirit of the Disciplines. He said, the more we pray, the more we think to pray. And as we see the results of prayer, the responses of our Father to our request, our confidence in God's power spills over into the other areas of our life. Active communication before the Lord. Prayer fortifies. And then secondly, we see that the witness attracts. The witness attracts. He talks about prayer here in these verses, and then verse 5, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Here we have them now taking the ministry outside. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders. And this exhortation gives us some things subtly. First off, it's the idea that there was an active participation in the world going on around them. that these Colossian believers were a part of what's going on around them, and he's saying, walk in wisdom towards those that are outside. In other words, I want you to walk in wisdom towards all that you see going on around us, because people are watching you. That there are people out there that aren't listening to sermons. That there are people out there that aren't reading their Bible. But you know what's seen before them each and every day? Is your life. Walk in wisdom before them. And yes, that even includes Facebook. Walk in wisdom. Make sure that your life before them is a testament and a testimony to who God is. Walk in wisdom towards them. And then notice what he says there. Making the best use of the time. Oh, that is something that's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? Making best use of the time. The word that's used here for making best use, it has the idea of to redeem, to buy back, to reclaim. In other words, we want to make sure that our use of the time is doing the best to redeem it, to make the best use of that time. And here we have that opportunity to walk in that wisdom and making the best use of our time before others. And then I love this part in verse 6. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt. So now we see the communication, not only that we have between us and God, but now we're seeing the communication us outward. How our life is communicating in our walk. What does our walk say about our God? Does our walk match our beliefs in God? Does our walk show that we're faithful? Is our God is faithful? Our walk should match and minister the way that what we believe in our faith and what's in our hearts and in our life. And then not only that, but our speech. Your walk does one thing, your speech then communicates even further. Let your speech always be gracious. Always be gracious. That we have the opportunity to talk with others, not to condemn, but to build up. An opportunity to be gracious. This is the power of the gospel, not only work in us, but at work in this world. That if the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, then we should apply that in our speech with grace. And then this next little phrase, seasoned with salt. All right, seasoned with salt. I love it because I love salty things. The idea of it being seasoned with salt, this was a phrase used in Greek to bring about the idea of witty speech. Witty speech. And what he's saying here is, because you're a Christian, doesn't mean you have to be boring. Because you're a Christian and you walk with the Lord, doesn't mean that you have to be stuffy. Being a Christian means that you can be exciting. And he is given this idea of your speech should be attractive. It should be seasoned with salt. Your speech should have some flavor. It should be tasty. A lot of times people don't want to talk to us about our Lord because what they look and see in our life isn't something that's attractive to them. Because we're walking the same roads they are. We're using the same things they are to get over these things. To get through hard times in our life. But when we change that and we have that vibrant relationship with the Lord and we know what the gospel has done to us and we're walking with Him and there's a vibrancy there, all of a sudden there's a difference in our life. A difference that changes us that TV can't provide, that alcohol can't provide, that drugs can't provide, that only what Jesus Christ can provide. And all of a sudden our life becomes a little bit different and a little bit exciting. That we talk about Jesus with excitement. Not with, well, I got to go to church again this weekend. Oh, well, the church has got to do this. Or, well, you know what, I got to try to read my Bible today. You begin to sound like Eeyore. That is not the Christian God has called us to be. John 10:10 says, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Do you believe that? Then our lives shouldn't be boring, should it? We should be attractive in our Christian walk, and our speech should be seasoned with salt. I'll tell you, one of the shows that's kind of one of the things I enjoy watching is Chopped, this show on Food Network, and they put all these weird ingredients in the basket, and these guys got so much time to come up with some kind of weird thing. And when they put the dishes before the judges, there's a critique that comes up time and time again. It's like, it's just bland. It needs some flavor. It needs salt. And you see time and time again, the judges say, it needs salt. It needs salt. You know what? Maybe we'd be more effective in our Christian walk if our Christian walk had some salt. That it had a connection with Jesus Christ. And how do you do that? Well, verses 2 through 4 give you the perfect plan. That there is an active connection with the Lord. Our lives lived in the world should be attractive and interesting enough to listen to. That people should say, there is something different. That our light is so shining before men that they see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. We are a city set on hill. We are the salt of the earth. And if the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be walked over. Maybe we need to be a little more salty. A little bit more attractive. Through a relationship with God. What we see here, Paul, as he's talking about this communication, is we're watching our mouth, and what we're communicating is showing us that communication enables mobilization. Communication enables mobilization. You know what? Sometimes it's hard to know what to do if it hasn't been communicated. But when we are connected to God in prayer, and there is a prayer life that is unceasing, that we are utilizing that access before the Lord, and not only are we speaking to Him, but He is speaking to us, that we have an idea of, you know what, this is how I need to go. This is a direction I need to be. You know, He tells us, if any man lacks wisdom, in James 1 verse 5, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and He doesn't uphold. And if that is who our God is, we need to communicate more with Him, because you know what, that's going to then give us the opportunity to mobilize. Do what Paul is saying here. Hey, pray for us too, that the ministry might go forward, that the word might be communicated and it might be clear. Did you pray for the word going forth today? Did you pray on how you were going to receive the word this morning? Are you praying about how you're going to receive the word this week and how you might take that word and use it in your daily life this week? Or do we just want God to keep us safe? Just keep me protected, God. Put your hedge of protection around me. You know what? All of that's good if it's in connection with everything else. But when that's our whole focus, we're missing out so much through the ministry of prayer. We're missing out on what God wants to do. He wants to do more than keep you safe. He wants to give you life that's abundant. He wants to give you opportunities to share Jesus Christ with your neighbor, with your family member, with your coworker, and opportunities to share the life-changing power of the gospel. Now, we have that opportunity to do that. I'm going to give you a little bit of an illustration this morning. A nice visual. I have a balloon here, all right? Preachers have a lot of hot air, so let's see how this works, okay? Getting lightheaded. All right, so we take our prayer life. We build our prayer life by what? Putting something into it. We blow and we put something into it. You know what communication does? It enables mobilization. You know, for this balloon to make noise, you got to put air in it. Because then, it makes noise. Different noises. You are all giggling, I know, on the inside, right? Well, guess what? If this balloon's going to make noise, what do? You put air. Oh, I'm not going to do it all again, okay? But you get the idea. You put air into it to allow it to be able to make noise. You know what happens? A lot of our times we try to make noise like this. Deflated. But there's no connection to God. And you know what? It's not making any noise. And that's what happens in our Christian walk when we don't continue steadfastly in prayer, when we're not watchful in it, when we're not continuing it with thanksgiving and praying for ministry opportunities and praying for the Word to go forth. You know what? We're sitting there deflated and defeated, and we're not attractive and we're not victorious and we're not making any noise for Jesus Christ. Put some air in it. Fill it with a prayer life and communication, and watch your walk towards outsiders starts to make noise, starts to make a difference. Shall we stand? With your head bowed and your eyes closed right there. This morning we had 2 points. Prayer fortifies, witness attracts. But that communication enables mobilization. Can I ask you something? Is your life showing that Jesus Christ is something worth having? Is there a prayer life that is connected to God that is going beyond asking for things, and maybe is giving back thanksgiving and giving back praise and asking for ministry to go forth and asking for souls to save? Is that your prayer life? How are you walking before these outsiders this morning? Brother, oh, my life is broken. My life is, I got problems here. I got problems there. I got problems in all these different areas. Well, you know what that can speak to? I am the way, the truth, and the life. It can speak to the power of Jesus Christ in our life, regardless of where we may be sitting this morning. Our lives can speak to the attractiveness of Jesus Christ in our lives and how we walk before others. You don't have to wait to get everything in order. You have to just come to Jesus. He can make it in order. This morning, as we come to this time of response, can I ask that we just don't make it like any other? That if God is speaking to you, if there's something that He is touching your heart and life and He is moving upon you for, can I ask you just to make a decision for Him today? Maybe that decision is to spend more time in your prayer life this week. That's true. Don't come to the altar and start here. Maybe grab a buddy, grab somebody there to say, I need your help and to help me. I want you to text me. I want you to call me. I want you to do something to help me connect to God better in prayer. Maybe you need to expand your prayer time and expand it to ministry and opportunities to see souls saved. And maybe this morning you need to come to an altar and say, Lord, I need you to work in this person's life. They need Jesus Christ. Or how about your walk? Has it lost its flavor? Are you just going through motions right now? Maybe you can come to an altar and say, Lord, help me to be seasoned. But let's get beyond just going through normal and let's act and do something for Jesus Christ. Maybe this morning you need to know the power of God in your life this morning, and you need to know what Jesus Christ has done for you. And if that is true, I'd love to meet you down here to show you how He can change your life. But as we come to this time, I pray right now, as this altar is open, that you would move and you would speak to the Lord. Oh God, move in us. Help us, Lord, to step out in courage for you, to do what you would have us to do. Lord, to respond to you and no one else. show that you're worth our communication, you're worth our lives, that others might see how good you are. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.